Well, I'm reminded of a mission trip I went to when I was probably 19 years old. We went down to Baja Peninsula in Mexico to a little orphanage. And one of the outreaches we did was to a group of Mexican Indians, they were called, Mexican Indians from Oaxaca. That's a state in Mexico. And what had happened was it's very rich for tomato growth in that part of the country of Mexico. So they had went down to the state of Oaxaca and promised all these native Mexican Oaxacans great opportunity to work in the fields to harvest the tomatoes that we eat up here in America. And so they bust them by the thousands up to Oaxaca and then just dropped them there. And they built these little villages out of cardboard boxes. And they found little pieces of wood or nails to build little houses with sticks, cardboard boxes. And they used bottle caps as the washers to hold it together. And we did an outreach there. And I remember being 19 years old and thereabouts and them. A whole ton of people from the village, and I'll never forget going to visit them and then welcome me into their little hut made of leftover cardboard boxes that they had scrounged, and there was the dirt floor. It was small. It's what they scratched together for a family of four or five. They lived in this. This is how they lived, and how proud they were of the place they lived, and how blessed they were that we would even come visit them. And that night we did a film about Jesus in Spanish, and so we had a large group come and watch it. And I remember how many people getting saved and watching this elderly man, who was probably, I don't know how old, looked like he was in his 80s, but a hard-worked man, and at that age, in that environment, a disposable man. And he got saved that night, and the Lord spoke to me and said, "Who's worth more, that man or the wealthiest man in New York City?" And the Lord showed me at that moment just how valuable each person is to him, that the world puts value on people, but it's different than the value that God puts on people. And I'm sharing that with you because some of you don't feel valuable. And some of you feel behind because you're not producing enough fruit in the natural. If you don't mind me prophesying to you today, you're going to have to get over it. You're going to have to accept that your value in God may only ever be seen by God until you get to heaven. That the world itself will not put value on you that God puts. The world will not put value on what you do for God the way that God does. You might as well get used to it. If you're going to serve God, you might as well get used to it. Let me prophesy that again. Get used to it. Get over yourself. If you're going to follow God, you don't get to choose where you go. What a place to follow God when you don't get to choose where you go and what you do. We're going to start in John 16, I think, today. Jesus is talking to his disciples. This is all Jesus speaking. In verse 5, "But now I go away to him who sent me. None of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless," verse 7, John 16, "I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." And when he has come, he'll convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, I want us to take a note here. In these chapters, he's telling them about how the world's going to hate them. But here he says, it's important that I go that the Holy Spirit can come. And then he first says what the Holy Spirit's role is to the world. Say to the world. This is the Holy Spirit's role to the world. To convict the world of sin. When he has come, verse 8, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. So the Holy Ghost's job is to convict the world of sin. You have your own conviction that comes from your new nature. This is the Holy Spirit's job to the world. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the rule of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, now he begins to tell us some of the job the Holy Spirit has taken in regards to you personally. When he, the Holy Spirit, has come. Verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all what? Truth. And he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. So I want you to see the role of the Holy Spirit in your life. Number one is to guide you into all truth. And if you're thinking I'm just trying to copy Gary's message from this morning, then you're probably right. But the Lord's been dealing with me on this morning about the Holy Spirit's role in our life. The Spirit of truth has come. He'll guide you into all truth. Say God. He'll guide you into truth. The world has a truth, but God has a truth. The world has answers for you. And every time you go through a difficult time, and your natural soul, the natural part of your man that you're wearing, begins to analyze your problem. And how many have been there when you're facing a situation and your natural man comes up with 20 different ways it can fix the problem? Which is all fine, except God's told you one way, his way. But your natural man says, well, if we do this, this, and this, let's negotiate how we can do it. Because the natural man will always attempt to get you to fulfill your call without facing the cross. And it brings you a peace and I'm going to be okay because I have these answers. When I remember following God when he told us a direction to lay down preaching and ministry and working and not to do anything but just pray and get to know him. You know, I thought I knew faith until I hit that bump. And I was like, well, what the heck is this? You know, where's all this fear coming from? I'm supposed to be a man of faith. Well, faith is not the absence of fear. Faith is the ability and willingness to follow God wherever he tells you to go. Even while your natural man is crying, complaining, screaming along the way. Say amen if you've experienced that. Well, when I was following God, I had a number of different plan B's and plan C's. Well, if it doesn't work out, I can do this. I can do that. But as I was following God, he began to clip one by one all my false security that I had built from my natural man and sneakily had me rely on him more and more. Now, I'm preaching still on the topic of overcoming discouragement. I'm still staying in that field to stay in that vein. But when you're discouraged, see, when you're not discouraged, it means that things are going good in the natural. When you have an abundance of finances, and you have a healthy body and a healthy family and healthy opportunities, how many know you can go months, weeks, years without skipping a beat, without really thinking about things? But when things fall apart, when resistance comes, when difficulties come that you can't make move, you want to make a move, but you can't make a move. Maybe you're praying for an unsaved loved one. Maybe your spouse isn't serving God with you. Maybe you have a physical condition. Maybe you have a mental condition, an emotional condition. Maybe you're still overcome with grief from the loss of something. And you've tried every possible way, knowing the Word of God, the promises of the Word of God, and you just still have to face that ugly situation every day. That's when discouragement comes, when you say, well, I remember being on the other side, or on the pre-battle and during battle and after battle revelations. You know, pre-battle, personal battle revelation, when someone would come to me, say, I've done confessed the Word of God for 10 years and nothing's changed. Well, our answer was always, brother, sister, faith doesn't wear a watch. God's not your problem. Keep confessing. I've done prayed in tongues for 10 years and still looks like nothing's moving. Pre-battle, well, just keep praying. But once you hit discouragement, you can't just give that answer. Let me tell you. Because I can take someone who's discouraged. Discouraged means I've done everything that everyone's taught me to do. I've gone to every prayer line. I've gone to every conference. I've listened to every CD, MP3, every cassette. I have read every book. I've confessed. I prayed. I fasted. And I'm still facing the same ugly thing. See, with your answer, pre-battle, my answer was always confess the word. Pray in tongues. Worship. Fast. But when you're dealing with someone who's done all of those things and is still facing the battle, you have to add one more line. You have to add trust. You have to trust that God believes in you. You got to trust in the Word of God. See, when you're discouraged, it's not because everything's going good. When you're discouraged because things aren't going the way they're supposed to go, the way the Word promises them to go, the way you thought it was going to go. Everyone who gets married after 6 months usually comes back and is wondering, I thought marriage was supposed to be this way. At least that's what Christy said, you know, my wife. But because you build up all these things in your head about how it's going to be, how life's going to be. But when life hits you, sometimes it doesn't end up the way you hoped it to be, the way you thought it would be. I've been good. I've been living right. I serve God. And why am I the one struggling when the guy, my neighbor, who doesn't even serve God, is having no problems? Why am I the one struggling? Discouragement comes when you are doing everything you know to do and you still don't see the change that you want. So with encouragement, you have to say, keep confessing the word. Keep praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep worshiping. See, what happens when you're discouraged, if you don't put your trust in the day-to-day practices of building yourself and walking yourself through. See, you'll begin to go looking for a quick miracle somewhere. Someone give me a quick miracle. This preacher want to pray for you. Come go to this conference. And how many know God does miracles? But how many also can believe that you are a walking miracle? And that you have the ability, because you're a child of God, to walk yourself into the fullness of the promises of God. So the hope to answer discouragement is not just hold on, brother, for a miracle. The hope is you have something in your hands that you can do every day to help change your circumstances. And that has to do with believing. Now, just telling someone, just believe, doesn't work if they're discouraged. Hey, preacher, I need a miracle in my family. Well, just believe, sister. Just believe, brother. You're the preacher. You're the one representing God. You have to either introduce them to the miracle or introduce them to the path to the miracle. Say amen if you're still with me. So when you're discouraged, your strength has to come from a hope, number one, that the answer is already given, the price is already paid. And then number two, from your ability to do the work, to bring yourself out of where you are into what God's already purchased for you. Verse 13 of John chapter 16. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll guide you into all truth. He'll not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will also speak. He will glorify me, and he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All the things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So when someone's teaching you truth, that means you don't know the truth. You have to learn the truth. When you have the teacher of truth teaching you truth, it's because you don't know the truth. You may agree with the truth, but you have to be taught the truth. So we can see here that the Holy Spirit's job in your life is to be the teacher of truth. How many have been taught the word that poverty is not in our life, that we are prosperous? How many have been taught the word that healing has already been paid for? See, these are truths, but when you hit circumstances that don't line up with the word, there's some more teaching needing to be done within yourself to believe that that truth is real. And this is the hope for discouragement. So many people hit discouragement that they pull the exit cord, the parachute, the exit cord, and they fix their problem on their own in the natural. They find that they come up to their, come here, Joe. This is, we'll call him Sloppy Joe today. He's my flesh, my natural man. So every time we face a problem, he's going to tell me an answer to make him peaceful, to make him feel comfortable. This is how we'll get through it. But I have someone else. David, come stand on my other side. I got Sloppy Joe on my right, and on my left I got Holy David. And now David's going to represent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to tell me the truth. He's going to guide me and direct me and teach me truths about who I am and what I'm supposed to do with my life. And as he leads me, almost every time your flesh is going to show resistance and try to negotiate another plan, another pattern. And where, as even Gary said this morning, you'll begin to serve God in Jesus' name, but not through Jesus. And because you and your flesh will make an agreement, you'll shake his hand and go, okay, it's a deal. So when you're listening to the Holy Spirit, you're resisting the direction of your natural man, this natural body, the natural intellect, and natural emotions. And you're listening to an outside source called the Holy Spirit, who is connected to you by your new nature, but he was in you, but he's not you. He's the Holy Spirit. He's there to teach you. So the Holy Spirit whispers in your ear and gives you direction and instruction and truths. And the outward man is left out of the picture. Like, tell me what he said. No. Well, why not? Because you're not going to like it. It's like when you're taking your dog to the vet. You don't tell your dog you're going to the vet. And usually your dog, I don't know about cats, but usually your dog begins to figure out where you're taking it. But you can trick a dog, just say the word treat, and you can get it to do almost anything. Hey, let's go for a ride, for a treat, yay! And then after a while, it can smell, it knows, and it begins to fight you and resist you. So your flesh is like an animal. It'll go along for the ride till it figures out where you're really taking it. And then it begins to resist you. Those who have dogs who've taken to the vet understand. We have to tip our dog lady extra money for our one dog because he bites everyone, fights everyone. Chrissy got a phone call one time. She dropped the dog off at a groomer. And she said, got a phone call and said, now remember, this is like a little tiny dog, tiny. Said, ma'am, you need to come get your dog. What's the problem? Well, we got him in the sink and we're washing him and he won't let anyone touch him. You need to come get your dog. So Chrissy had to go back and get him. And I said, well, isn't that what we pay them for? You know, but they can handle our little tiny dog. And so we have one dog that does not like the vet at all or the groomer or anyone except Christy. And so the Holy Spirit is going to teach you and guide you. Now you have a problem because you have a battle of responsibility. You're responsible for your life. Are you going to yield the direction of your life to the Holy Spirit? Or are you going to keep control and start a religion? All religion is birthed at this one moment of fight. It's not, will I pray in tongues? The prayer and the Holy Ghost will bring you to this fight, but it's a fight of the will. Who's in charge of my life? All religion is built on one little decision, one place, where you, all religion, Pentecostal religion, Baptist religion, Muslim religion, Mormon religion, all religion is built on one place. Can you serve God and keep your will alive at the same time? That's where religion is built. Because in the scripture, you either serve God or you serve yourself. A lot of people serve themselves and give God the leftovers or in the name of God, but really they're serving themselves. You can say amen if I'm making sense. So you're going to have this battle. Here you are, you, and you got the Holy Spirit that loves you and knows the plan of God for your life, knows your dysfunction, your brokenness, knows the personal battle. See, no one is stopped by their calling. Everyone who stops is stopped by the weakness and struggles of their flesh, of their natural body, and are destroyed or redirected before they can finish their course. If we didn't have a natural body that we fought with, but have our eternal body, we would all be in our callings and all be free. But there's a struggle that you're going to face, and it's deeper than any battle that you can mention. The hardest battle a man or woman has to face is the battle of your will to obey God or to obey your flesh. So the Holy Ghost is going to teach me. Say teach. He's going to guide me. Say guide. But guess what? You have something else that you're wearing who wants to teach you and guide you too. And that's called your natural man. So every time you face a crossroads where the Holy Ghost is guiding you down a path where you don't see what's down there. The natural man will come up with a path that will give you signs of success. So in other words, I'm going down a path, following Jesus, loving God, and I see a crossroad or a, what's it called when the road splits, a fork in the road. I see the road split. I can go one direction, and it just says Holy Ghost. And I see the other direction, and there's a bunch of signs. It says prosperity, success. It says peace, safety. See, all the promises of the world that it gives you to go down that road. But the other road just says the Holy Ghost. That's all it says. No evidence that you're going to be okay. No evidence that you're going to be blessed or successful. Just the Holy Ghost. And when you choose to follow the Holy Ghost, how many know that there's times and seasons where it doesn't take you down your calling? How many times have I met young men and women who said, oh, I'm not called to that. See, I've got visions and I've got what we call prophecies or blueprints of my future. And 90% of my life, the Holy Ghost has taken me in opposite directions of what my blueprint has said. The blueprint is more for me personally telling me, if I continue to grow and follow the Holy Ghost, that's where I'll end up. That's my prophecies of my future. It's not for me to make my prophecies come to pass, to make my calling come to pass. It's up to me to follow the direction every day of the Holy Spirit. So when you hit the fork in the road and the decision-making of life, if everything is great and wonderful and nice, you can go months and weeks and years sometimes and not even have a second thought. But when things go hard because of life or resistance from the enemy, that's when you can get discouraged, when you're wondering, is it going to work? Is it working? See, how you pay your bills is one fight. But how you get a miracle that's impossible, you understand quickly you only have one path. See, and if we're going to go down a road of the impossible, it doesn't come from the natural. It's got to come from the place where the impossible lives in every day, and that's in the spiritual realm. So for every decision, you're going to hear a voice from the flesh. And what happens when many people get discouraged, say discouraged. Now, I'm not talking about discouraged in the impossible right now. I'm talking about discouraged in the answers. You know, how your finances and your emotions and your thought life. And so you begin to, as you follow the Holy Ghost, get discouraged because I've followed the Holy Ghost this far and there's not been a change. Eventually, what you do if you're not careful, out of discouragement, is you'll come back to your flesh, the natural man, and you'll shake its hand and say, let's make an agreement. I'm tired of trusting the Holy Ghost because he's not fast enough. I am now going to make an agreement with the flesh because the flesh will help me bring the answer quicker, and I now have I have control. So you've all been there on that fork where you've had to choose, and you resist the thoughts of the flesh, you resist the ideas of the flesh, and they're good ideas. The flesh will happily go to church, but it won't go to the prayer closet. The flesh will happily give time to the gospel, except for fasting. It won't give time for that. So we have to make a choice. Do we listen to the Holy Ghost? Or do we listen to our natural man? That's the choice that everyone has to face. But when you're fighting discouragement, the hope that I want to instill in us today for those who are fighting either the constant battle of one area. I've been believing for my finances. God told me I'm supposed to be prosperous, or your calling on supposed to be called. What a lot of guys do with their calling is they give up waiting on God and they begin to fix it. Because the natural man, I remember Pastor Dave rocked my world one day when I was talking about a world famous preacher. And I said, isn't it amazing how he went, this preacher went from nobody to all over the world in like 2 years. God must have promoted him. And Pastor Dave said to me, well, Alan, sometimes man promotes you, and it's not God. And I realized, wow, there's a whole community of believers who are happy to promote you if you tell them what they want to hear. All right, so you got the Holy Ghost to guide you, who believes in your future, and the natural man to try to guide you, who believes in the now. And will try to make comfort you now. But the comfort you want is not from the body. Because the natural body will always fail. The natural man cannot get you to the impossible. Now look at me. I want you to think about that old man down in Mexico. Little, even at his age. I got to be careful around here when I say old now. Don't get too mad at me, because then you're telling yourself that you're old. So just say, yeah, those old people. That's all you got to say. Go get those old people. That's right. That man who was disposable by the world's needs, the world's view, in God's view, was just as important as the most wealthiest man in New York City. That God would move the whole mountain just to get him saved, even though he had no value to the kingdom as far as the world could see. Thank you, guys. I'll let you go have a seat. So how many times did my natural man give me opinions and ideas and comfort if I just went its way? There is a trust that has to be built on this walk of the Spirit that says, I'm going to trust the path that God put me on, because he didn't put me on a path to fail. He put me on a path to win. And when you start to hit the resistance and the struggles, and you begin to hear this question, you know, of your natural man tap you on the shoulder. The natural man taps you on the shoulder, and you hear this whisper, when? When? When do we get to fulfill our calling? When do we get to walk in victory? When is the answer going to come? Now, if you're dealing with trivial things, you can reach into the world and find ways to fix it. But when you're dealing with the impossible, there's no way to fix it from the natural world. I can tell you in my own situation, there's no way to fix it in the natural. I only have one path if I'm going to have victory. If I want to walk in the victory that God's already purchased, it's going to be through following him. But that's how he wants all of us to walk, that he's all we have. Jesus talking to his disciples. Verse 16. A little while and you'll not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, because I go to the Father. And some of the disciples said among themselves, what is this he says to us? A little while, Jesus said, or a little while, and he will not see me. And again, a little while, you'll see me. And because I go to the Father, therefore, they said, therefore, what is this that he says a little while? We do not know what he is saying. Now, Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while and you'll not see me. Again, a little while you will see me. Most assuredly, I say to you that you'll weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. And you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she's in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers anguish for the joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I'll see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. So Jesus is telling them that the world itself will rejoice in their sorrow. But he tells them that their sorrow is going to be turned into joy. And then he goes on to explain to them this type of sorrow is like a woman that's in labor. And it's really interesting because he's talking about not just sorrow. You can use any example of sorrow. Sorrow from a lost loved one. Sorrow from things turning bad. The loss of your dreams. There's lots of sorrows that people go through. But here he gives a sorrow that has a hope to it. The hope is that you're not going to live there forever. See, the way you help yourself if you're discouraged is you build a hope inside of you that says, I don't have to stay the same. I don't have to stay the same. Can you imagine some guy swimming in the ocean? Because when you're discouraged, this is how it feels. You're swimming in the ocean, and you turn around 360 degrees, and there's no land, there's no boat, there's no helicopter. It's just ocean, and you're treading water. And you've been treading water, and you feel like you have nothing left. And when discouragement does, it starts to tell you, just let go. It's easier to drown than it is to keep treading, because all this treading isn't working. Boy, I feel like I'm speaking to someone right now. That's the time where you understand, where you put your hope in God and say, Father, I believe your word to be true. And my flesh is lying to me that there's no hope left, because there is hope. See, the answer is to look at today. What can I do today? I have a hope that my miracle is already paid for. But I also have a hope that I don't have to stay the same. So what can I do today? What can I do right now today so that tomorrow or the next day I'm walking what God's told me? Here, the sorrow he's talking about is a woman in labor. There's so much revelation in this one verse that we really could stay here for a long time. How many of you ladies have been pregnant and had given birth before? Give me a wave. Now, once you got pregnant, were you able to change your mind? You know what? I think I'm not ready for a child yet. I want to wait. How many got to choose the due date? I mean, I know now we have C-sections, but outside of that, how many got to choose what the hour you're going to give birth? You know, it came when it was ready, right? When it was fully grown, when it was ready. Birth came at its own time. We had one friend who was a naturalist, and she wanted to do all natural. And she came up to her due date, and the doctor said, okay, you're supposed to give birth now. And she said, no, I'm not taking anything. My body will give birth when it's ready. And a week later, still no birth. And they said, well, you're going to come in for a C-section. No, So they said, if you don't come in, we're going to have you arrested. So she went on the lam. I mean, she avoided the police and avoided everyone until she gave birth. She gave birth, I think, 2.5 weeks later to a fully healthy baby. I'm not giving any doctor advice here at all. We've had other ladies who've said, I'm going all natural, no epidural for me, and we're very proud going into it. But then halfway through, they changed their mind. And then it was too late and complained the whole time. It's not supposed to hurt, you know. It's like, man, there's sorrow in giving birth. You know, but you're not looking at the sorrow. You're looking at You're producing something. You're giving birth to someone. And what's amazing in this picture is that someone is being birthed from someone else. Do you understand that God couldn't just make you. He didn't just make you from nothing. You came from the family of Adam. And he had to birth you through that family. He doesn't just make new children of God. He only finds children of God in Adam's family and then births you out of Adam's family into his family. So this is talking about salvation. That in a while, you're going to be sorrowful, but let me tell you something. Something's going to be birthed, and it's going to be life-changing. Now, let's hold on to that. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians. See, when you're discouraged, it's very easy to fix things rather than continue on the path that's brought you hardship. I've just followed God and all I had was hardship. Well, quit following God. Do you ever hear the joke? Doctor, I have a pain in my right shoulder. What's the problem? Every time I lift my hand above my head, my right shoulder hurts. And what does the doctor say? Well, stop lifting your hand above your right shoulder. That's the old joke. I've been following God, serving God, faithful, praying, seeking God, and all I've had is hardship. Well, stop following God. Fix it. Find an easier path. That's the whole point why the enemy is resisting you. To get you to look over at your natural man and say, all right, give me your plan. Let's fix it. Because I'm tired of trusting God. Well, I can tell I'm preaching to someone. Let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll just, for time's sake, look at verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, but our inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed. We shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Verse 5. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 5. Who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We walk by faith and not by sight. Now let's go over to Romans chapter 8. You have to first accept. If you want to receive from today, you have to accept how valuable you are to the kingdom of God. How valuable your life is to God. Not just you. Your life, your calling, you. You have to first accept that. Say it with me. Say, I'm valuable to God. Now, don't repeat this, but some of you have been told you're not valuable. Some of you have been told you're not good enough. Some of you got fired from a job. Some of you, you don't need anyone telling you that you're not worth anything because your own head tells it to you every day. Some of you self-judge yourself because of all your struggles, about all your failures, all your mistakes. Maybe you have a divorce. Maybe you have a bankruptcy. Maybe you have failure after failure. But from God's view, you are valuable. There's no one ever lived that has been more valuable to him than you. Do you understand that? In the history of mankind, no one has been more, is more valuable to God than you are. No one. In the history of mankind, no calling is more important than your calling. Well, what can I do? I'm not worth much. That's not the way he sees you. So you have to first accept that you are valuable to him. You as a person, no matter how messed up you may be or how what your past says to you, how little you may think you have to offer, the world maybe has rejected you over and over and over because of your weaknesses or your inabilities. But in God's heart, in God's eyes, you are valuable. Number two, you and I must accept that our calling, the job that we do for the gospel, the specific job that we do for the family business of the gospel, is as important as anyone else. In this group here, we have many people working today, serving today. Not just the guys preaching, we have the sound, we have the guy recording, we have the cameraman, we have the people who clean the carpet, the people who set the chairs up. We have people who serve in different capacities. Your calling is as important as anyone else. God would take you and ask you to give your whole life up to see one person saved. And you know that in his eyes, that's just as important as Apostle Paul, Billy Graham, just as important as anyone else, because you did his will. His will is what's important, because he knows you. I'm ready. When you think you're ready and you feel him take you in a direction that says you're not ready, trust him, you're not ready. I'm ready. See, when we listen to the flesh wants a reflection back of value, usually from people. But we have to accept our value must come from him. Otherwise, you'll always be seeking to please people. The third thing we have to accept, the only way for you to explore the value that God has for you and for your calling, is through the Spirit, not through the avenue of your natural ability, your natural flesh. Does that mean the flesh is bad? No, that means the flesh is useless. To doing the impossible, the flesh is useless. There's no amount of creativity, ability, skill set, community that can do the impossible. The impossible has to be birthed out of the Spirit. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Let's see here. We'll just start in verse 18. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That's very similar to what we read in 2 Corinthians. That the suffering of this present time. Now this word suffering, again, this does not mean sickness, disease. This is a sorrow of birthing something. For the earnest expectations, the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility or vanity, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. So in other words, even though God knew that you would hit the vanity of your flesh, the vanity of your natural body in its inability to finish what God has for you, he did it on purpose to get you to the place where you would birth something from the Spirit. How many of us have tried in our natural ability? Those who've wanted to really change the world have tried in our natural ability, but have found ourselves hitting the ceiling, as Pastor David said, of our flesh. I used to do prayer lines all the time for healing lines, and I was trained how to do it in a way that you picked the ones who were ready, but skipped over the ones who weren't ready to receive. In other words, you set up an atmosphere where people would be expecting something from God. You would hear in the Spirit to know which ones were ready to receive by their faith in God and pray for that one. But the one who wasn't ready, you just kind of skip past them so you wouldn't look bad. And that's the way I was taught. I'd go down the line and I'd have a world famous preacher walk with me and say, okay, skip that one. They're not ready yet. Just skip past that one. Say a quick prayer, move on. But the ones who are ready made a show of, amen, look at this, hallelujah. But we know from Jesus that everyone who came to him received their healing. So I had to choose myself personally. Do I stay at this level? Because I hit a place where I couldn't go past certain things. I hit the impossible. I hit a place of impossible, where everything I was walking in by the gifts or by the anointing, everything I was walking in that moment, I could beg God, pray to God, stand in faith, say, I thought, boldness, everything, every trick, everything I tried to make it happen wasn't working because I hit the ceiling of my flesh. And I needed a teacher to teach me how to get past, how to move past my inability, how to move past my natural acceptance, where you choose along the road, you say, okay, I'm tired of the fight. This is enough. I'm going to stop right there. I got a little bit, 1 foot in the world, just a little bit. When I say the world, I'm not talking about drinking and smoking, and I'm talking about one step in the flesh where I have some control of things, and one step in the Spirit. But this is good enough. My ministry is good enough. I feel good enough. Life's good enough. No wonder why we haven't seen revival, and like the Scripture says, we can have. For the creation, verse 20, was subjected to vanity, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. When you're in the middle of a crisis and you're in the middle of no answers, it's amazing when I talk to God, he never talks to me about today. He never talks to me about the middle of my struggle. He's always talking to me about my future. It's almost as if he's skipping over this battle like I've already won it. What's wrong with him? Doesn't he know what I'm going through? Don't you see what I need right now today? And he just keeps talking about my future like I've already won. Maybe he knows something that you don't know. Then maybe he knows that if you keep doing what you're doing and you stay on the path he put you on, the path will get you to the place that he promised you it would get you. So many people switch paths because they give up on the trust. They quit trusting that what God told them is true. God, you promised me that I would be preaching around the world and doing this. You promised me I'd be in ministry. You promised me I'd be wealthy. You promised me all these things. Where is it? I'm tired of waiting for it, God. I'm tired of just treading water. I'm tired of just praying. I'm tired of just fasting. I'm just going to go do it. Bless God. The Word of God says, go. You know, go out into all the world. So I'm going to go out into all the world. Hallelujah. I'm going to begin going. You know, the first two letters of God is go. The last two are D-O, do, go and do. Let's go and do. And going and doing is good. If you walk by someone who needs love and needs a hug, needs a blessing, something that doesn't take you off the path that God has you on, you don't need to pray if there's a piece of trash on the floor, God, do I pick up this trash or not? Just pick up the trash and pray in tongues while you're doing it. You're fine. You don't need to pray about certain things. You, as Gary said this morning, you can just do certain things as long as it doesn't take you out of the will of God. But we try to fulfill the will of God in our natural ability. That's called religion. You've given up, you quit trusting. Discouragement will make you give up on trusting God. I can take a stack of confessions, the hours of worship, and I can take all the scripture verses and give you 15 books on how to overcome. But if you're discouraged, those books, those stacks of confessions will sit in the pile, and you'll just hate the day that you started to serve God. But here he says he subjected creation into this vanity, inability, willingly. He let creation know that it was unable, it was vain. It had no ability to do what God needed to do. It had to reach out to God with a hope. Said he willingly subjected it to vanity with a hope. Because of the creation itself, verse 21, also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains, travails with like a woman in labor, with birth pains together until now, that all of creation is laboring, waiting to give birth to a new creation. Look at me. We're not going to live forever in heaven. Heaven's just a holding place. He's going to give us a new earth, a new universe that's coming, being birthed. All of creation is groaning and laboring with this expectation. This suffering is not a suffering like someone beats you with a bat and you just got to take it. This suffering is a suffering with a hope that even though I'm going through this, something beautiful is coming forth. Something amazing is coming forth. Something incredible is coming forth. When you're going through a hard time, it's either going to destroy you or it's going to promote you. If you don't give up, something beautiful of the Spirit will be produced, birthed, and all the suffering you went through will be forgotten. Because it was the labor pains for the impossible. What you're going through now as you follow God's will, some of you fight torment in your minds. You're on the wrong path. Some of you, you heard some preacher sat down with you 20 years ago when you said, I'm going to go pray in tongues and follow God. And some preacher sat down with you 20 years ago and said, listen, if you pray in tongues too much, it's going to make you go crazy. And you laughed at them privately, said, yeah. Now, 20 years later, you hear that voice and you go, maybe he was right. Maybe I've been wasting my time. You hear this voice when you have the helper, the teacher, who's walked with you hour after hour after hour as you prayed in the Holy Ghost, and he's taught you the deep things of God. There's nothing more, I don't know what the word is, when someone finally gets a victory. They finally realize, oh, I got a victory. And they quit doing something, or they overcame something, or they walked in something. And they come back with the testimony. You know what? I thought it was all prayer. And I prayed for 5 years, but I just did it. And you think, okay, you don't think those 5 years of prayer helped you get to that place? You don't think those 5 years of prayer with the Holy Ghost teaching you day after day, hour after hour, who you are, finally helped you to realize this is who you really were? Had one guy attack me after a service. It's like, it's all by grace, brother. It's just by grace. You're teaching it all wrong. Pastor Dave's been teaching all wrong. We just need to go out and go do it. Well, I won't get into everything we said, but he attacked me out in the foyer on the way out of church and didn't like what I preached because he wanted to preach a different message. Well, he's welcome to preach. Just go find somewhere else to preach it. Everything's great till you hit your flesh's limitations. Then how are you going to do the impossible? How are you going to do the impossible? How many want to walk in the impossible? Even in your calling, it's more than just raising the dead and casting out devils. It's in the financial realm. It's in every other realm. Don't get comfy because you got something. Learn to birth something in the Spirit, to follow the Holy Ghost, wherever that may take you. Whatever way that road goes, there's a loneliness where he's all you have. He's your only comfort. And when he's your comfort, you learn to be safe in that comfort. Verse 22, for we know. Well, verse 21. Because creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also, it's talking about you now, we also were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance or patience. We eagerly wait for what? For the adoption of the body. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know for what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We're waiting for the day we have no limitations. But we don't have to wait till we go to heaven. We don't have to wait till the trumpet sounds. We can begin to walk in those things. And we have someone who's going to help us. And that's the Holy Spirit's job. To come alongside, to guide you, and to teach you how to walk in who you really are. How to walk in the impossible. You can walk in the impossible. You can. But if you take another choice and you listen to your flesh, you will have a path that seems satisfying, but it's limiting. The impossible can only come from the Spirit, from following God, obeying God, and allowing your inner man to grow and mature and being all that God's called you to be. Over the years, I've learned that what I used to think I was called to be isn't what exactly he's called me to be. I had to learn that from the Holy Spirit. There's nothing impossible for you. So for those of you who feel like you're treading water, the hope for the discouraged is not the pat on the back and the hug. The hope is that you don't have to stay the same. And that if you keep doing the right things, the impossible will be birthed. The suffering will be turned into joy. The torture you're going through, the torment, the struggles you're going through will be turned into joy because something impossible, something miraculous, something birthed from the Spirit will come forth that cannot come out of the natural ability. So don't give up. Hold on tight to what God's told you to do. Follow the direction God's given to you. Spend time with the Holy Ghost. Let him lead you step by step, guide you as you pray out his will, as you begin to pray out those mysteries. You're going to be a whole different person than who you are today. The world may judge you from your past, but let me tell you, God's judging you by your future. God's looking at you by your future. That's why when you talk to him, you're expecting a rebuke. I'm going to God, I'm going to get rebuked. And you get nothing but a, let's keep going, there's great things ahead. Who are you looking at, God? Can't you see the mess I am? Can't you see the struggle I'm going through? Can't you see my limitations? In the Spirit, there's no limitations. Anything birthed from the Spirit lasts forever. The devil can't stop it. That's why he's so afraid of it. Keep praying in tongues. Allow the Holy Ghost to walk beside you, to guide you, and to teach you the truth of who you are. You may know the truth from the Word, but you don't know it till you're living it. See, I know the truth for me personally of the healing that God's already purchased for me. I know the personal promises he's given to me personally for my personal battle. But see, if I spent every day just looking at my personal battle, if that was my prayer every day, every minute of every day, focused on my personal battle, I would never be able to walk in what God has for me. That's why I don't preach every sermon about my personal battle. It's my personal battle. It's personal. None of your business. He skips over this season when I talk to him. God, what about now? Well, let's talk about your future. Yeah, but what about now? You have everything you need. Just keep doing what I told you to do. And see, he's teaching me. I know from the Word who I am, but I don't know truly who I am in the area of healing. But I will. I will. My miracle's coming from him, from the Spirit. It's already been purchased by the blood of Christ. So who better to spend time with? The Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit's the best one I can spend my time with to teach me who I am. He knows your brokenness. He knows your weaknesses. He knows what's pushing you. He knows. Whatever you're going through, your battle, it's either going to destroy you or promote you. I had one lady, pastor I was talking to. She said she was following God, doing great. All of a sudden she went through a time of really intense torment in her mind. Out of the blue, just torment in her mind. Struggled every day, and mentally, and even affected her physically. She said she prayed and she worshiped for 6 years until it lifted, but she didn't give up. She didn't quit. And she's the one who told me that. She said God told her, this is either going to destroy you or it's going to promote you. 6 years she spent not giving up on prayer and worship and the Word, and she got victory. And now she rules over that. Do you understand? The sorrow turns into joy. Whatever you're struggling with right now, whatever you're fighting through in your mind to get you off course that God put you on, stay on the path that God put you on, because it will turn into joy. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today. There's a determination in the Spirit today, a strength that says there's no other option. There's no choice but to follow you. There's no fixing it the easy way. And we're choosing to follow you and listen to your path. No matter where it takes us, we'll face every fear, every anxiety, every question, every judgment from other people's opinions, every judgment of ourselves. And we trust that we have the Holy Spirit as our helper to guide us and walk with us step by step through every battle. There's nothing that we're facing that's impossible. And we thank you that we choose to grow in the Spirit, to overcome by the Spirit. We have hope today. I take hope today from you, Father. I take hope today from your path. And I choose in my life today, you're all I have. Your will, not the will of my flesh, not the will of my family, Your will, Father. I choose that today. And I thank you for the Holy Ghost leading my steps that I can trust that I'm not being tricked. I'm not being foolish. I can trust that as I follow you, the impossible will happen. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father. I don't feel like we're done yet. Thank you, Father. I think he just wants us to make a more personal, intimate decision in our heart that we're with him. Not just a decision in our mind or a decision, I'm going to keep following you another week, but a real intimate commitment that says, God, I'm all yours. My life belongs to you. My value comes from you and you alone. Because some of you have been feeling valueless. You've been feeling like your life is not having a big enough impact. And wondering, what good am I? What good have I done? Who have I helped? And I feel the Lord's asking you to say to him, from your heart, Father, I just want to follow you. And I'm okay with whatever this life brings me as I follow you. I'll read a word that someone handed me. I'm assuming it was for me personally, but I think it might be good for us. It says, in your storms of life, I'm more than just your hope. I'm your answer. You need to realize you are mine. I have you, no matter what storm may say or try to push you one way or another. You are mine. The reason for the battle is to get you to shake the hand of your natural flesh and say, okay, I'm tired of all this work, all this battle, all this struggle. I just need a break. Let's fix it. Instead of trusting God through, all the way through till you give birth to what he's trying to give birth through you. And I'd even say there's coming even a more finer line of walking as we continue down this path where people have to make a harder choice to follow God. To walk in the impossible every day. And it may feel like it's all vanity. It may feel like it's lacking. But he says he did that on purpose to the world with a hope that something more beautiful would come forth. So when you're feeling that you have nothing left, he's telling you, put your hope in him because there's more from him, unlimited, the impossible from him. You've been praying for your lost child or your unsaved loved one or trying to get past something emotionally, trying to get over something financially or mentally, or your calling hasn't come to pass. He's telling you, don't give up. Stay with the Holy Ghost. Let him lead your steps. And when it feels like it's all vain, understand that that suffering that you're going through, that struggle that you're going through, that's going to turn to joy. Because you realize in the future, wow, that wasn't there to punish me. That wasn't there because I was failing. That suffering, that pain was there because I was giving birth. I was giving birth to something impossible. Thank God I didn't abort what He had me do. Thank God I didn't fix it. That's the future that He sees when He looks at what you're going through now. You walk up to a little pregnant lady and you pat her on the tummy. You know, it's almost like it's a license that you're allowed to do that. You don't ask for, you just go, oh, cute little tummy. I'm assuming that's offensive to some ladies, but you pat her on the tummy and you don't realize the suffering she's about to go through. But praise God, what gives birth to you is worth. And that's what's going on when you're suffering in this walk and the struggle and the resistance from the enemy. What we're giving birth to, what's coming forth from the Spirit. The impossible can't come from the natural. Can't come from your work, your label, your effort, your desire. It's got to be birthed from the Spirit. Choose today. Choose today. Your path. Choose today. Then trust until it's finished. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. For some of you today, He's adding strength to you. He's pouring strength into you. So just receive that today. To know that you're not a mistake. You're not a waste. To know that your life and what you accomplish as you follow Him, to Him is powerful. Thank you, Father. So, Father, we make our commitment to You, not our will, but Your will. That You guide our steps. You guide our life. And we thank You, no matter what we go through on this path, we refuse to change course. The death that some of you are feeling in this moment is the death of the natural man's ability. That's that deep, deep grieving that you're feeling is you've let Him in somewhere. Some of you today let Him into a place of your heart that's allowing Him to move you forward. Thank you, Father. And as the path becomes narrower and narrower, understand that You have all that you need in Him. Do not be afraid. He will not abandon you. Father, we thank You today for Your strength. For each one here, as we follow You, the Holy Ghost, our guide, our teacher, direct our steps. Bring us into victory, to live and walk in the victories that You've already purchased. That You see us from our future, not from our past. Thank You for believing in us. And not giving up on us. We choose not to give up on You. We give You our life. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Jesus. Be prepared for many more to come. To learn how to walk in the Spirit. Many are tired and weary of trying to serve God in their own ability, and they're searching for a place where they can follow the Holy Spirit. So be prepared for many to come, looking not for a handout or a miracle, but looking for hope that their life means something to God. I'm trying to release you, but I just can't. Is there someone here who's, you're ready to give up? I don't specifically feel like danger, but there's some, if you're here today and you said, I'm ready to give up, I was ready to give up, I need a touch from God. You say, I need a touch from God. Just lift your hand up. You say, I've hit that fork in the road, and I'm weary. I'm tired. I'm tempted to give up, change course. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Who else is that? If you feel you just want to agree, say, I just need that touch. Richard and Hazel, will you come up here, please? If you're here today and you're in an impossible situation, whatever that is, you say, I'm in an impossible situation, or you're facing a place where you're at that fork in the road and you're saying, I'm just ready. I'm tired. I'm weary. You're the one who's treading in the ocean, and it feels safer to let go than does to keep pressing in. You look around, you can't find land anywhere, and that feels, that's you. You just, I'm not giving up on God, but I'm weary. I'm tired, and you need that extra hope, or you're facing an impossible situation, you like prayer, then please come right now quickly, and we're going to pray with you.